In the final analysis, none of us is adequate. This is the work of God. And except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Psalm 127:1. No matter how well I prepare, no matter how much experience I have, no matter how many books I've read, in the final analysis, I am inadequate. And the best thing to do is admit that. I don't fight it. You see, when God said to Samuel, when he went to the house of Jesse to look for a king to replace Saul, and he warned him and he said, Samuel, be careful. Remember that God doesn't look at the outward appearance. That's what man does. God looks at the heart. That's true today. And so I go before him and I take Psalm 139, 23 and 24 and I just say, Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there's anything wrong, any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You do that. I refuse to get involved in trying to find out if there's something wrong in me. Introspection. Morbid introspection. That's what the enemy wants me to do. A.W. Tozer, a favorite author of mine, used to call that, calls it, he went on to be with the Lord, as you know, but in one of his books he calls that tinkering with my soul. That's right. You know what tinkering is? Let me tell you what tinkering is. I love to do mechanical things. I just like to use my hands. And if you put me in front of a minor piece of equipment, I can repair it. Things at home, an automobile, this kind of thing. But put a pliers and screwdriver in my hand in front of a computer and tell me to fix it, I would be tinkering. I don't know anything about that. And I'd mess it up very quickly. That's what I do when I start to scour around through my heart to try to find out what's going on. I can't do that. God brings to my attention the things that He wants me to know and do, and then it's my responsibility to do them. But to get involved in trying to introspectively find, to ferret out and to come up with what's wrong in my life, that doesn't mean we don't use our intellect. Don't misunderstand me. And it doesn't mean that I'm not responsible to evaluate. But in the final analysis, I have to put it all before the Lord and say, Lord, You show me. You show me. Conscientiousness, morbid introspection, a feeling of inadequacy. A lot of this has to do with my concept of God, doesn't it? Let me close with a little illustration that was shared in this very auditorium in 1956, shortly after we took possession of this beautiful place. In 1953, we became owners of Glen Eyrie. In 1956, the Lord took Dawson Trotman home to be with Himself. That year, we went ahead and had our staff conference, even though it was the following month. And, of course, Dawson's absence was felt very keenly. We had a speaker here by the name of Edward Carnell. Some of you may know his name. At that time, he was professor of theology at Fuller Seminary. He, too, has since gone to be with the Lord. Young man. God called him home. And he stood here and spoke to us as a staff regarding the filial relationship, the relationship of father and son. And he used an illustration. And he told about the father sitting in his living room. And he hears the door open in the back and the little son comes in. The little boy is 4 years old. His name is Tom. It happens to be one of our sons, so I'll use that name. Could be Steve. That was another son. And so he calls. And he says, Steve, bring Daddy a glass of water. He heard the back door open, you see, and he knows his son's come in. And Steve says, sure, Dad. Be glad to. So he scoots over his little stepladder and he climbs up to the sink and he takes a glass and he fills it with water. But what his dad doesn't know is that Steve's been playing in the mud. And so his hands are still kind of muddy. And as he gets them a little wet. They get slippery. And he tries to pick the glass up, and his little hands just can't do it. They don't fit. And so he thinks, how can I get this into Dad? And an idea comes to him. So he carefully reaches up, and he puts one hand around it, and he slides the glass over onto his other hand very carefully. But that's not good enough. He's still, this hand is slipping. So he works it up carefully, and he walks in like that to his dad. And he's delighted because he didn't spill a drop. But what he doesn't realize is that the mud on his thumb has been filtering into the water. So he gives it to his dad with a big smile, and he says, here, Daddy. Now, his dad can do one of two things. I'm afraid many of us would do the first. Steve, good night. Look at that water, son. You don't expect me to drink that. Now get in there and wash your hands and get a clean glass and bring me a glass of water. And we would say that's training our children. Well, there are times when that's necessary. But you see, God doesn't do that. Instead, he says, thank you. He takes the glass, mud and all, and he drinks it. There is nothing that I can offer God that is worthy of God. Everything I offer him is imperfect. My service, my efforts. God does not accept my service on the basis of its perfection, but on the basis of my intention. God looks on the heart. And that has been one of the most stress-removing concepts in my life. God knows my heart. He knows your heart. He knows what your desire is. And if you're being honest and seeking to admit, confess, deal with sin wherever it comes up, and walking with him a step at a time as honestly as you know how, and seeking to improve yourself wherever you can and keep your heart right before him and minister as best you know how, then don't become a victim of the introspective ministry of Satan. Believe that God is who he claims to be. A God who loves, a God who understands, a God who cares. And believe that he will do what he promised to do. And this verse in closing, 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are upright before him. Notice, it does not say to show you strong. Oh, we'd like that. No, it's not what he says. He wants to show himself strong. And often the weaker the vessel, the greater the display of his strength. So why fight it? Why fight it? Well, we've rambled and talked about a lot of things, and time's gone, and I don't know if we've covered anything helpful or not. But thank you for your attention. It's been a joy being with you. The Lord bless you. Mel?